This is the Daily Dope, presented by The Gaming Gang, for Friday, January 13th, 2012. It's time for another irrelevant look at the gaming news of the day. Hello again, this is Jeff McAleer, your host, with the latest in tabletop gaming headlines. Yikes, it's Friday the 13th, so I'm hoping that listening to the show isn't going to lead to any sort of bad luck for anyone. I don't know, I think we can pull off today's show without anyone losing an eye or a limb. Rio Grande Games releases two new additions to the Power Grid line. Power Grid the First Sparks and Power Grid the Robots. Power Grid the First Sparks is similar to Power Grid, although it plays much faster. It's also set during the Stone Age. As clan leader, you're responsible for the well-being of your clan during the Stone Age. You need to develop new hunting technologies and get new knowledge to successfully hunt food or to learn to control fire. With the help of these skills, you'll harvest enough food to feed your clan and spread it far enough to reach new hunting areas. In this game, you're always confronted with manifold decisions. Which technology cards offer you the biggest advantages? When is the right time to spread your clan on the game board? Which hunting areas will grant the most food? Reaching new hunting areas or trying to secure parts of the game board for your own clan are important factors for your strategy. Empty spaces are cheaper for your clan to settle in compared to spaces where other clans already settled earlier. If you're the first to increase your clan size to 13 clan members, there's that unlucky 13 again, you'll win the first sparks. Also, Robots is coming to Power Grid, but the inside dope is awfully slim. In fact, so is the outside dope. This expansion can only be played with a copy of Power Grid. The game rules for Power Grid are the same. This expansion includes components and rules for adding robot players to the game. Not really telling me a whole lot there now, is it? Both these new releases should be available at your local stores sometime early next week. On a side note, it really is too bad that Rio Grande doesn't embrace the concept of getting pertinent information out there in front of the public. Not only is the Rio Grande website one of the most unfriendly and non-intuitive sites you'll ever encounter in the hobby, but much of the information that comes out for Rio Grande is very vague as to why you would want to purchase any of their upcoming products. Honestly, this is going to come back to bite Rio Grande in the end, and I'd hate to see that as Rio Grande is a fine company. But how can we in the hobby media cover something that we simply receive a sentence or two for us to discuss? Robot players in Power Grid? Does that mean an artificial AI that allows for bigger games with fewer players? That's my assumption from those three sentences, but how am I supposed to know? Enough pontificating on Rio Grande. Cosmos is bringing Star Trek to Catan. That's right! According to Catan designer Klaus Tuber, Star Trek Catan takes two well-known media properties and merges them into, well, something that's 95% the Settlers of Catan, glossed with Trek tropes and spiced with new special powers related to Trek personalities. In Star Trek Catan, players start the game with small space stations at the intersection of three planets, with each planet supplying resources based on the result of a die roll. Players collect and trade these resources, dilithium, tritanium, food, oxygen, and water, in order to build spaceships that connect regions in the galaxy, establish small and large space stations at new intersection points in order to increase resource acquisition, and acquire development cards that provide victory points or special abilities. On a die roll of a 7, a Klingon ship swoops in to prevent resource production on one planet while taxing spacegoers who hold too many resources. The one new element in Star Trek Catan compared to the Settlers version is a set of character cards, each featuring one of Kirk, Spock, McCoy, Sulu, Scott, Uhura, Chekov, Chapel, Rand, or Sarek. Each character card has two special powers that the holder can use on his turn, such as a force trade. Star Trek Catan releases in Europe this March and will retail for 37 euros. No word on when it will make its appearance here in the US. On Tuesday, January 17th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, GMT will be conducting a live online demonstration of Navajo Wars. Designer Joel Toppin and developer Mike Berticelli will demonstrate the two-player variant of the game. In this two-player variant, the players play in a semi-cooperative manner. If the tribe loses, both players lose, but only one player can win. You can get all the details on how to tune in at GMT's Ventrilo voice server page at gmtgames.com. To get a little more in-depth about the game itself, Navajo Wars is a solitaire game which covers one of the longest struggles waged on the North American continent. From the arrival of the Spanish conquistadors in 1595 until Colonel Christopher Kit Carson's brutal Navajo campaign of 1863, the Diné, the Navajo, fought to preserve their way of life. In Navajo Wars, you must use skillful planning and cunning against a constantly changing and aggressive enemy. Navajo Wars uses a unique mix of cards and an enemy instruction matrix to drive the actions of the enemy. More than just chart checking and die rolling, in Navajo Wars, the player has to make lots of meaningful decisions in order to win. To keep the enemy at bay, you must use skillful planning to build up your tribe's population. You must attack enemy outposts and raid enemy settlements. You'll need to plant and harvest corn and develop herds of sheep as well as horses in order to survive the slow desertification of the American Southwest. You'll also certainly need the wisdom of your tribe's elders to guide your people through treacherous times. You need to develop your tribe's culture to survive the influences of an alien civilization set out to subjugate you. Along the way, the Ute, Comanche, and Apache tribes will ally with the colonists of New Mexico against you. You'll also face intermittent wars with the Hopi and Zuni Pueblo tribes. You'll face off against the Spanish, Mexicans, and Americans in an epic struggle for survival. Navajo Wars has three scenarios, each of which can be played in 1 to 2 hours, and one short scenario that can be played in 30 minutes or less. First is Los Dueños del Mundo, the Lords of the Earth. I don't speak Spanish, so I'm sure I pronounced that wrong. This is the Spanish period of the game in which the player must guide the Navajos to a position of strength. Historically, the Navajo reached their zenith of power during the time period of this scenario, 1595 to 1821. A broken country is the Mexican period of the game. This enemy is more dangerous, more persistent. This period of the game is a slugging match between two powerful forces. Historically, the Navajo War with the Mexicans contributed to the success of the U.S. Army of the West, which invaded New Mexico in 1846 during the Mexican War. The fearing time is the American period of the game. Historically, the Navajo were brutally subjugated in 1864 after Kit Carson's campaign into the Denetal. The Navajo were subsequently removed from their land and led on a brutal forced march to Fort Sumner in eastern New Mexico territory. Over 500 people died on the long walk. You, the player, must avoid this fate. The Devil Has Come to Canyon de Chelly is a short scenario which takes place at the very end of the American period of the game. Historically, the American Civil War impacted and was impacted by the Navajo War in the Department of New Mexico. In this scenario, the player will face off with the American Army in a final showdown. For players desiring a very rich and rewarding gaming experience, Navajo Wars contains a grand campaign, the Longest War, which encompasses the Spanish, Mexican, and American historical periods. Guide your tribe from its first contact with Europeans until its final showdown with the American Army. Will you take your tribe in a more warlike direction, or will you make use of shrewd diplomacy to achieve your goals? The choice is yours. Although Navajo Wars has been designed from the beginning as a solitaire game, the game does include two ways to play with two players. First, two players can play the game cooperatively, with both players discussing their options and making decisions together. For players wanting a more competitive game, Navajo Wars includes an innovative semi-co-op variant. In this variant, both players must work together because if the tribe is defeated, they both lose. Nevertheless, only one player can win. To win, each player attempts to establish his influence over the tribe. Throughout the game, players must balance what's best for them against what's best for the tribe as a whole. This makes for a very tense and historically accurate gaming experience. Navajo Wars did make the cut with GMT's P500 system, so we should be able to look forward to what sounds like a mighty interesting game in the next few months. Navajo Wars will retail for $69. Herman Luttman, who in 2011 scored 3 designs, which rocketed up the sales charts at Victory Point Games, has revealed some items that are currently on his designer plate. In Herman's very own words, "Hey everyone, I'd first like to thank all of you who purchased any, and especially all, of my first 3 game designs, which were released this past year thanks to Victory Point Games. What an exciting time it's been for me as I went from no game designs to my credit all the way to 3 in a single calendar year. I can't thank Alan Emmerich and the VPG crew enough for all their encouragement and direction in achieving this feat. I could not have accomplished any of this without them and their talented and enthusiastic support. boy, my creative juices are really flowing now, and I'm greatly looking forward to the year ahead. Allow me to share my projects list with you all for 2012, which I've already submitted to the VPG hierarchy for your opinions and comments. I know it's way too ambitious, and the scary part is that I don't even include other game development I'll be doing when I'm not the designer. But what the heck, making games is so much fun that I really can't help myself. Let's begin with expansion kits, the Walking Zeds for Dawn of the Zeds. The draft form of all components and the rules are all completed. I've yet to get anything on the game table to begin the designer's gross testing of the project, but everything is completely outlined and awaiting me to build my first crude playtest kit. This promises to be a very substantial expansion kit for a very substantial States of Siege game, adding a whole new level of gameplay and storyline to the original game. It introduces a new fifth track to the town center, Super Zeds, four new heroes, and loads of other ingredients that promise to make this a whole new experience. And, drumroll please, many new elements in the expansion will segue directly to the next complete game in the series, Armageddon. Into the Whirlpool, Gettysburg to Wheatfield. This expansion is almost totally finished and has already hit the gaming table a few times. I'm just fine-tuning some rules and balancing the scenarios a bit so that this baby will be ready to roll. Final production will take some time as we are including two new maps and doubling the counter mix. Frozen Rope for High and Tight. I have this one figured out conceptually so I know what to do. It's just a matter of finding the time and discipline to put it all together. This expansion to my baseball game includes more teams, of course, injury rules, and season play. Hopefully, interest in baseball will be picking up when we get closer to opening day. Expansion kits are one thing, new games are another. Some of these new games are already well underway, while others are just a glint in my eyes. In magnificent style, this is entering beta testing and is good to go very soon. The 38th Parallel. This project is about 67% done, but has been on hold for a while because, frankly, other things just kept getting in the way. This is my schizophrenic solitaire game system on the Korean War, with the solo player taking the part of both the UN and the communists at different stages of the war. The secret ingredient is that you literally rotate the map 180 degrees and see the pieces in an entirely new way. Kicksave. This is a dynamic action ice hockey game that's based on a new critical game events engine that should provide a unique approach to hockey, or any sport, really. Hockey fans are quite a fanatical bunch, and this game should really fit in nicely with VPG's fledgling sports line, and our Canadian customers would really love us. Hey, Herman, I would love it too, but I'll tell you what, don't have the Blackhawks playing in Joe Louis Arena, and the Blackhawks better be in the game. Anyway, back to Herman. Realpolitik. If there's one game I really want to do this year, it's this one. I'd like to design a traditional hex encounter war game, and Realpolitik is my interpretation, or a rethinking, of Avalon Hill's classic war game, Blitzkrieg. Two fictional World War II era superpowers are facing off against one another on a continent that also contains four or five minor countries. Base system features fairly simple wargame mechanics, so you can bring in new players with it, but it includes technology advancements, diplomacies, and other goodies thrown in. The twist will be in the continental events cards, which represent the overall political situation and drive the storyline, or actually create the scenarios. Things will happen politically on the continent that the superpowers have to deal with, and they may do so diplomatically, including everything from a police action to all-out war. Each successful scenario win earns that player a certain number of power victory points that eventually lead to victory or defeat in the game. This will be a big game for VPG, featuring a 17x22-inch map and a good number of components. And there's also going to be a second Death or Glory game. To continue the Death or Glory system of solitaire fateful charges, first introduced with In Magnificent Style, which is coming soon, I'm looking at doing Omaha Beach or The Somme next. And Ellen Emmerich will be looking for other designers to cover the Charge of the Light Brigade and the Advance of the Old Guard at Waterloo. All of these situations would utilize the Death or Glory mechanics very nicely and would be great additions to the series. So if any of you have any preferences in mind about any of the above, please write me and let me know. You can reach Herman Luttman at victorypointgames.com. Hydra Miniatures announces War Rocket Pirate Clan Contest. Attention, pirate lords. The vast universe is filled with numerous bands of marauding space pirates. Each of these space pirate fleets is unique and led by an infamous individual who has proven themselves to be skilled and honorable to the pirate code. Hydra Miniatures is asking its fans to contribute to the world of War Rocket by designing a space pirate clan. The winning fiction and images will be used in the upcoming space pirate PDF for War Rocket. To enter the contest, you need to submit both a written background and a painted rocket photo. The written background must be no longer than 250 words and must include the name of the pirate clan, the name of its leader, their color scheme and symbol, a brief history, and favorite rocket customizations. In addition to the written background, submit a photo of a space pirate rocket painted in your clan's colors. If you don't have any space pirate miniatures, you can also paint any official War Rocket fleet as a captured rocket in your clan's colors. By the way, please use a white background for your photo. As far as the rules, only one entry per person. You submit your entry to hydraminiatures@yahoo.com with the subject line Pirate Clan Submission. And submissions including background fiction and photos become property of Hydra Miniatures and can be used in future products. Include your name and shipping address in your submission. The info won't be shared with anybody, but they need to send you the stuff if you win. The contest will run from January 10th through January 28th. The prizes? First place wins one Space Pirate Class 4 and two Space Pirate Class 3 miniatures. Second place wins one Space Pirate Class 4 and one Space Pirate Class 3. And third place wins one Space Pirate Class 4. And finally, Impact Miniatures is accepting playtester applications for their game Impact City Roller Derby. Roller Derby. Impact City Roller Derby, ICRD, is a fast-paced board game for two players that's based on flat surface roller derby. Each game consists of a series of races called jams. Through strategic positioning of blockers and well-placed hits, you can help your jammer score or hinder your opponent. ICRD is seeking 12 parties for the second and final round of playtesting. The session is expected to last 4 weeks and playtest kits will be mailed in February. If you'd like to be part of this opportunity, email Impact Miniatures at icrd@impactminiatures.com. Roller derby experience is strongly preferred, although I think they mean that you only need to be a fan. I don't think you have to have performed in roller derby. Please provide the following information in your email. Your name, your experience with roller derby, including your local league, your experience with board games, and how many times you believe you can playtest in the 4 week period. If you're selected, you'll be required to register on their message board and participate in the private ICRD forum for discussions. Swing over to impactminiatures.com or give them a like over on Facebook for Impact City Roller Derby and keep up with the game and their upcoming Kickstarter project when it launches. Well, that's it for this time around. Looks like we made it through Friday the 13th all right, it seems. Although, I guess I do have a bit of bad news. Elliot Miller will be your host for the Monday edition of the Daily Dope. Oh, no. Obviously, I kid. Elliot is my best friend in the whole wide world, and he brings his own expertise and thoughts to the website and podcast, so I am sure his hosting duty will be fantastic. Elliot's probably going to be hosting our Monday show from here on out, so he will be sure to get your week off to a flying start. I'll be back Tuesday, Elliot will be here Monday, and until next week, I hope you have an amazing weekend, and get out there and do some gaming. The Daily Dope is presented by The Gaming Gang, located at thegaminggang.com. Any similarities to an actual news program are certainly unintentional and, in fact, accidental.